1958, there was an archbishop in China by the name of Dominic Tang, and he was arrested and imprisoned by the Chinese government without a trial. The accusation was that he was, quote, the most faithful running dog of the reactionary Vatican. And so they gave him no trial, but the real story was the Chinese government was communist, and as they're still trying to do today, they were trying to take over the Catholic Church and ensure that the bishops of the Catholic Church were loyal and would do the bidding of the communist government in China rather than being loyal to the chair of Peter and his successors in Rome. And so, Archbishop Tang refused to betray Jesus Christ and his church, and he suffered the consequences of that. He was incarcerated for 22 years. He underwent long periods of interrogation. They kept him in a state of permanent hunger and malnutrition. He didn't have a single change of clothing for 22 years. They didn't give him a bar of soap or even toilet paper during that time. And during the entire time, he was never allowed to write or receive a letter from any of his family members or friends. A situation like that would probably break most people. But in his memoirs, what he said is, "When I was a seminarian, I learned to do God's will. God's will required me to practice virtue in prison. This was God's love for me." He recognized that God had him there in prison for a reason, and he accepted the will of God, even in those circumstances. And he saw many opportunities to demonstrate kindness and to grow in virtue when he was in prison. But one of the most intense forms of punishment that they would do was solitary confinement, you know, which is regarded by many as a form of torture where you isolate a person from all human contact for extended periods of time. And that will often lead to pretty intense emotional and psychological consequences for people who go through that. But they kept him in solitary confinement for 7 years in a damp cell without a window in it. And after 5 years in solitary confinement in this cell, the jailers decided to release him for a couple hours and said, "You can do whatever you want during these couple hours." If we put ourselves in his position, you know, what would we ask for? You know, if we could do anything we wanted, you know, just a walk in the countryside, or maybe a phone call to a loved one, or maybe to eat a healthy meal for the first time in years, maybe listen to some music or a glass of wine. What his request was, he said, "I would like to celebrate Mass." And so after 5 years in solitary confinement, he celebrated Mass. You know, this man pushed beyond the limits of human endurance, could have had anything that he wanted to ask for. And what he asked for is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, as we hear in today's gospel. You know, regular food would have only satisfied him briefly. A drink, he would have been thirsty again when he went back into solitary confinement. Music or a long walk would have been certainly nice to enjoy. But what he longed for the most during those long hours in solitary confinement was the Eucharist. You know, it was Jesus Christ who sustained him at every moment when he was in that prison. When he was isolated from all other contact, it was God who was his only companion during that time. And during the depth of his suffering, you know, you can imagine what it would have been like for him to celebrate Mass one time. In that moment, to join his sufferings to the suffering of Jesus Christ, who he knew was suffering with him. You know, that's what we're supposed to do when we're at Mass. We unite ourselves to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as he's offering his life on the altar. And it helps us to find meaning in the midst of our suffering. You know, he could unite his physical suffering to the physical hunger of Christ, his thirst to the thirst of Christ, his loneliness to the loneliness of Christ. He could unite all those to the sacrifice of Christ and unite his heart to the one who suffered for him. You know, this extreme case, I think, reveals what the deepest need is of all human souls, which isn't for food, it's not for entertainment, it's not for physical comfort. The deepest need of the human soul is to be able to unite our souls to the souls to our Creator. And in doing so, we see more clearly what the purpose of our lives is. The closer we come to our Creator, the more we can recognize what his purpose is for us in this life, and the more Archbishop Tang was able to recognize that God sent him into this world and was permitting him to be in this prison and to endure these sufferings for a reason. That there was a purpose behind it. And I think the same is true for us. You know, when we come to this Mass, the closer we draw to Jesus Christ, the more we recognize what our purpose is in this life, and the more it gives meaning and purpose to the struggles that we face. And so the question I would throw out for us to reflect on today, as we hear these readings about the Eucharist, about the bread of life, how deep is our devotion to the Eucharist? You know, when we see this example of Archbishop Tang, how deep is our devotion to the body and blood of Jesus Christ? You know, for our Lord, who goes to such great lengths, descending all the way from the glory of heaven to present us with himself, his body and blood on this altar, how do we respond to that? You know, some people see the Mass as something that's very inconvenient for their lives. It's like, oh, I have to get up on Sunday morning and go to church again. They see it as an inconvenience. You know, they could rather be doing other things, but they have to come here. Or they skip Mass. They don't come every Sunday. Or they dread coming to Mass. They close the door to Jesus Christ. Other people open the door wide. Other people seek him, and they open the door to a relationship of love with Jesus Christ. And so where do we fall? How deep is our devotion to the Eucharist? You know, when we come to this Mass, especially at the offertory, when we're bringing the gifts of bread and wine up, what we should be doing is uniting the struggles of our daily life. If we're a parent, you know, the struggles of providing for our kids, you know, if we're facing struggles in our workplace, you know, the struggles that we deal with there, we're supposed to be uniting all those things that we're offering up in love of God to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, for the blessings that we've received in this life, for the good things, you know, just to be alive this day, you know, for any positive graces that we've experienced or good experiences with friends or family members, we bring those to the altar and we offer those in thanksgiving to Jesus Christ, who's the source of all those. The Eucharist and the sacrifice of the Mass should be the source and the summit of our lives. You know, that we're bringing everything, all of our struggles, all of our joys to this altar and uniting them with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we find the deeper meaning in our suffering, the purpose for which we're undergoing the struggles that we deal with, and we're refreshed and we gain the strength to keep going. You know, when we have blessings in our lives, when we can recognize the God who is the source of all those and who is bestowing those upon us in abundance, then it gives a deeper meaning of joy and a deeper level of joy to us. You know, if we look elsewhere to find fulfillment in our lives, we're not going to find it. Jesus Christ is the one person who can offer us, as he says in the gospel, the food that we can consume and never hunger again, and the drink that we can consume and never thirst again. You know, Archbishop Tang, in a way, had a great blessing, having everything else taken away from him in life so that he could focus and rely upon the one thing that would give him true life, which was his relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can only imagine how deep his devotion grew during those long hours of solitary confinement, and with what joy and devotion he would have celebrated that Mass. You know, we have many other blessings. We haven't been thrown into solitary confinement and stripped away from our family members and loved ones. But that shouldn't mean that our devotion to the Eucharist is any less. It should be more because of that. We should have more to give thanks for in our lives. And so the more central we make the Mass in our lives, the more we will have life and have it to the full. Jesus Christ promises that he will give life to the world. And if we place the Eucharist as the center of our lives and our devotion, then we will find that every hunger and every thirst of our souls will be satisfied.